Good morning, and a very warm welcome to our service of morning prayer for the fourth Sunday of Advent. Today, with the lighting of the fourth Advent candle, we recognise Mary as the bearer of the Son of God. The picture of the Advent wreath is almost complete as we await Christmas night, when the fifth and final candle is lit. Hill is our preacher today. In our worship, our hymns are number 584, Of the Father's Heart Begotten, although you may find the words differ substantially from what is in the hymn book. And number 449, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. So let us prepare our hearts and minds. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are you, Sovereign God of all. To you be praise and glory for ever. In your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to dispel the lingering shadows of night. As we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God for ever. We continue in prayer with the prayers of preparation for our confession. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. Lord Jesus, you came to gather the nations into the peace of your kingdom. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You come in word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You will come again in glory with salvation for your people. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn of the Father's Heart Begotten.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant that, as she looked for his coming as our Saviour, so we may be ready to greet him when he comes as our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, O Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. When I was preaching a couple of weeks ago, I referred to juxtaposed messages in the Bible, and I think today's Gospel reading gives us a prime example of that. The spotlight shines on Mary and Elizabeth, two lowly and shamed ones through whom God has chosen to begin the transformation of the world. But what a paradox! Here we have Elizabeth, who, in practical terms, was well beyond childbearing age, and Mary, unmarried but pregnant, and, not to be overlooked, bearing the Son of God. And it was through their trust in God and their acceptance of his will that we are where we are today. Surely this makes us remember that all things are possible with God. So Mary travelled quite a distance to visit Elizabeth in the hill country, as on hearing from the angel's visitation that Elizabeth, miraculously, because of her advanced age, is pregnant too. I'm sure as she journeyed on, Mary would be worrying about what the reception was going to be like when she arrived at Elizabeth's home. These days, we would have been able to test the water with a phone call or electronic message in order to gauge the reaction of the recipient of such news, but not so back then. But Elizabeth knows from her own experience the cost of being shamed and excluded. In her culture, a woman's primary purpose in life was to bear children. So, as an elderly, infertile wife, she had endured a lifetime of being treated as a failure. I think we would all agree that this is the most dreadful cloud to live under. So understandably, earlier in this chapter, we read that her response to her miraculous pregnancy emphasised that God's grace had reversed her social status as she said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favourably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." At long last, in her old age, she is an honourable married woman, pregnant with her husband's son. Praise be! So she understands and can relate to Mary's situation, and by greeting Mary with honour, Elizabeth overturned social expectations. What a relief for Mary, as being an unmarried pregnant woman, she may well have expected social judgment, shame, even ostracism from her older relative. But, on the contrary, Elizabeth welcomed, blessed and celebrated her, treating her as more honourable than herself. This is because Elizabeth clearly knew that there was something miraculous going on. as we read in verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. Luke clearly signals that the unborn child's leaping is prompted by the Spirit. She is filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaims what Mary has not yet told her and what is not yet visible to the eye, that Mary is pregnant. Furthermore, through the Spirit, she knows who Mary's child will be, for she calls Mary the mother of my Lord. Her prophecy will soon be fulfilled when her own son, John, prepares the way for the Lord. So Elizabeth opened her arms and her home to a relative whom her neighbours would expect her to reject. And this is exactly the kind of inclusive love that Jesus will show to prostitutes and sinners in his ministry. Elizabeth actually sees beyond the shamefulness of Mary's situation to the reality of God's love at work, even among those whom society rejects and excludes. Don't you think this may well be telling us something about our attitudes in society today? I would like you all to reflect on the words and actions of Elizabeth and compare them with the ways in which God chooses to act through us in our world now. What might God be doing through unexpected people in our society? Where might he be at work through people who are often excluded or treated as shameful? Clearly, through the actions and words of Elizabeth and Mary, they trusted that God had come to save and free them. We too need to give thanks that God is able to take away our shame and free us, and then we need to respond to his love by welcoming the shameful. So may we, like Elizabeth and Mary, become members of a community that supports each other. Let us consider this as we hope and wait during this time of Advent, as we reflect and self-evaluate in an anticipation of our Lord's coming. And let us pray that we can echo Mary's words by saying yes to God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, as she did, we too could faithfully stand up and say, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Amen. A poem by Malcolm Guite called The Visitation. Here is a meeting made of hidden joys, of lightnings cloistered in a narrow place, from quiet hearts, the sudden flame of praise, and in the womb the quickening kick of grace. Two women on the very edge of things, unnoticed and unknown to men of power, but in their flesh the hidden spirit sings, and in their lives the buds of blessing flower. And Mary stands with all we call too young, Elizabeth with all called past their prime. They sing today for all the great unsung, women who turned eternity to time, favoured of heaven, outcast on the earth, prophets who bring the best in us to birth.
Let us join together in saying what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our Saviour, our hope is in you. No one is beyond your love. No one is beyond your saving power. Give us grace to recognise you and to welcome you as you come to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, open our eyes that we may behold your glory. Open our minds to know that you are with us. Open our hearts to the love that you give us. We give thanks that in Christ you share in our humanity and open for us the gate of glory. We pray for the outreach and mission of the Church in this special time of year and ask for your guidance and help in this time of pandemic to work within the constraints placed upon us and to be able to reach out to children and families and people of all ages. Lord, give your courage to the Church to proclaim that you come among us. And bless all our Christmas services, we pray. We pray for all who seek to support family life, all who care for homeless or unwanted children, all children taken into care. We remember the street children of the world and all who are used as cheap labour. Bless the work of the Children's Society and the NSPCC. In this time of pandemic too, we pray for our health service, for all those involved in the vaccination programme, for volunteers and doctors' surgeries, for anyone who is getting involved in some way to support this. We give thanks for people who do volunteer and give freely of their time for the benefit of our society. We rejoice in the love of our homes. We pray for all who have enriched our lives by their goodness, all who have accepted and care for us. We pray for all who are separated from loved ones at this time and all who are lonely. We remember all who will come together for Christmas as families and those who are alone. We remember the sick, Lord, those who are in hospital, those who are awaiting operations, those who know their illness will not get better. And Lord, you came to earth that in your power and love we might ascend into heaven. Bless our friends and loved ones who are departed this life with the gift of life and love eternal. Lord, we ask all these prayers in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We gather our prayers and praises into one. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now sing the hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. the blessing. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you. Scatter the darkness from before your path and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.